It's Monday, May 3rd, 2021. I'm Tanya Harris, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. On Friday, Ted Cruz tweeted out that when woke CEOs need tax breaks and regulatory changes, they can call the Democrats now because the GOP won't be taking their money anymore. Wow, isn't it refreshing to see Cancun Ted lay out who he will and won't take bribes from these days? Mitt Romney was booed and called a traitor for his opposition to Donald Trump at Saturday's Utah Republican convention. Hey, say what you will about Mormons, but they know how to stay on brand by siding with the guy with multiple wives over the one with conviction. The New York Times reported New York mayoral candidate Andrew Yang left his charity Venture for America with a deficit of over $2.6 million. For a guy who claims to be all about the numbers, it sounds like Andrew doesn't know the difference between a nonprofit and a no-profit. Caitlyn Jenner has come out against transgender girls competing in girls' sports. I guess she believes that they should get it out of their system before transitioning, like Bruce did. Judge Jeanine announced on her show on Saturday night that she has trouble breathing when she wears a mask. Okay, good. Stephen Miller says he's suing the Biden administration for discrimination against white people. I wonder if he'll bring his case to night court. You know, so that the rays of sun don't cause him to disintegrate. Medina Spirit won this year's Kentucky Derby, and his trainer, Bob Baffett, has now earned a record 7 wins at the world-famous track, making him the Lewis Hamilton of horse racing. Oh, and if you understood that reference, congratulations on your wealth and European whiteness. This morning, British Vogue released images of Billie Eilish in form-fitting lingerie for a cover story photo shoot they did with her. Let's see how long it takes before this becomes the first and only time a female pop star gets criticized for not wearing enough clothing. On Sunday, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck took part in the Global Citizen Vax Live concert event aimed at encouraging people to get their COVID-19 vaccines. Which is ironic considering that the worst thing to hit the U.S. prior to COVID was their movie Geely. This weekend, Elon Musk asked his Twitter fans for skit ideas for this week's Saturday Night Live, which led SNL cast member Chris Redd to correct him by saying that they are sketches, not skits. Come on, Chris. By now, you should know that Elon Musk has made a fortune out of being completely full of skit. And nothing you say is gonna change that. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
Well, I just wanted to say that I saw today that that Melinda and Bill Gates are getting divorced, and I don't know if it's because of the vaccine, but something inside me told me to feel bad about it. I
saw one of the funniest comments online. Somebody said, well, because of the vaccine, now she's chipped, and he followed her to the library and realized she was using an Apple computer. I thought that was very funny, so that's why they're breaking up. Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts. Hope you had a good weekend and a very, very happy National Two Different Colored Chew Day. Oh, and it's also National Montana Day, National Raspberry Popover Day. But my favorite one and the most important one is this week is Teacher Appreciation Week. Appreciate your teachers, because if you don't have teachers, then you end up with, you know, Trump voters.
Mm-hmm. And pay them more, please. Danny.
Hello, everybody, and what a day it's been. Did you know that one day on Mercury lasts about a little over 1,400 hours? It's about the same number of hours as a Monday on Earth.
Okay. The more you know. Stuart.
How's it going, everybody? If Melinda Gates needs a shoulder to cry on, I'm here.
Now, is that because she's very wealthy? She's a Stone Cold Fox. Which one?
Yes.
Listen, Cougars.
You got to think. Answer. You got to think. After her last husband, Stewart is kind of like her type.
Yeah, get that safari hat going.
I could see it. I totally see it.
Stewart, get some glasses.
I had glasses.
There was no prenup.
And Ian.
I had something clever to say, and I've totally forgotten it. So my favorite high school teacher was Kay Jones, if you're out there. Honey.
Oh.
Ian, did you just get back from the luau?
Do you appreciate her?
I never left the luau. Thank you.
I like the shirt. Ian's at a luau 24/7.
For our podcast listeners, Ian is wearing a shirt that looks like he should be at a luau.
Peter.
Life is a luau. But
a
I don't
luau
like
is just a mentality.
Exactly. Thank you. It's like a cheeseburger in paradise, kind of. I hate him, but no.
There you go. I also want to publicly apologize to our dear Chris. I overslept on Saturday morning and I couldn't work out with him. So, and my husband did not wake me up and he didn't have
it's not my job
to let him know that I wasn't going to make it or that we weren't going to make it. So, sorry.
I don't have any gym clothes here, so I couldn't do it.
I also want to apologize to Chris. I woke up Saturday fat and old and decided that I shouldn't be working out with him. So.
I mean, I'm going once I'm back, so.
Sorry, Chris. And I also want to start doing something new once in a while. I want to give a shout out to some of our new followers on Facebook. So today I want to give a shout out to Mary Cowley. Thank you so much for your nice comments and for following us on Facebook Live. So thank you so much for your support.
Get us more followers, Mary.
Well, your work's not done.
It's your job now. We thanked you.
No, I do. I want to recognize people. So it means a lot to us. We put a lot of work into the show. So thank you for that. She had some very nice comments about the show. So, okay. So let's start tonight's show. It's another week and there is a lot to catch up on. So we're just going to start tonight with just one question, in which I'll ask you one question about the stories we didn't get to cover over the weekend. India is experiencing the worst outbreak of COVID any country has gone through during this pandemic, with over 400,000 new cases being diagnosed each day. On Friday, the Biden administration banned travel from India to the United States. So my question is this a good decision to make based on science and safety, or is this the world's most powerful country turning its back on an ally? Now, before we start with this, I just want to just bring up a couple things. So when we talked about the ban from China, right, when Trump was in office, Biden actually said that he believed that travel bans didn't work. But that being said, you know, I think if he knew then what we know now, maybe he wouldn't have said that. So I think that's where people are questioning this. So I want to hear your thoughts on this. Joe, I want to start with you tonight.
I totally agree with the travel ban. If you remember, when things got really, really hot last year in Italy and whatnot, the same things kind of happened. We right now as a country are really at a great turning point with COVID. So many people are getting vaccinated. Like today in California, there were no COVID deaths today.
2 days in a row.
Yeah. So we're really doing great. You know, I don't know about Florida or South Dakota, but I mean, most of us are doing great. And to have people come in with it and to kind of just start spreading it again, I understand what's going on. And it's not turning our backs because we're sending out ventilators. We're sending out oxygen. India needs oxygen really, really badly.
Yeah.
A part of the problem with all the deaths over there is that they just don't have enough oxygen. So we're sending out all of this stuff. We are sending out medical personnel. It's just we are trying to also make sure that our footprint can stay as tiny as possible with this. And so therefore, that's why they're being banned going in. I believe it's the same going the other way, unless you are like specific medical personnel there to help with it. So it's not turning our back at all. We love India, our ally, and we're doing everything that we can with it. But we also have to protect ourselves and stay safe, too.
And can we just point out that we're not calling it the Indian virus either? So it is a little different than the past administration, the former administration. I'm Stuart, then I'll go to Pete. Go ahead, Stuart.
Well, I'm not sure where Joe Biden got the travel bans don't work from, because unless you're bordering them, they do work. But yeah, I mean, it's a good thing that they're banning travel from India right now. I think part of it is A, the high case number, and also the variant. There's a what is the double mutant? Is that what it was? So I think that's somewhat concerning. And I'm not sure if they've tested the vaccines on the double mutant yet. So that's also another concern. Closing the border doesn't preclude us from helping them. They don't need it. They need oxygen and medical supplies, not an airplane ticket.
Mm-hmm. Based on what I just said about Joe Biden, you know, when he did talk about the travel ban not working, he also did say we need to find a plan to combat it. So maybe it was taken out of context. I don't know. But again, I mean, I agree with what you said before, but I just want to like reiterate the fact that he also did add that as well. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, travel from Wuhan should have been banned.
Absolutely. Earlier. I agree. Pete.
Well, I think it just kind of like what Joe and Stuart said, this isn't something that we're banning like travel because we're punishing them. They're saying that there's documented 400,000 cases a day, but in reality, it's probably two or three times that amount. So there's over a million people a day getting COVID right now in a country that has 3 billion people in it, just within their borders.
3 billion,
or is it a billion? I'm sorry.
It's like 1.3 billion.
It's 1.3 billion. I'm sorry. a lot of data in my head.
A ton of people showed up in India all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, they all went for the COVID. Can't come for the curry, stay for the COVID.
They heard about the Vax concert.
That sounds really horrible what I said. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, there's over a million people a day that are probably getting this. And you know, the sad truth about the way, you know, underdeveloped countries, you know, view us is they view us as a lifeline. And, you know, and if people have the wherewithal to get out of India right now, where's the first place they're going to go? They're going to come here. And it's not safe for them to do. It's not safe for us to take them in. And it's not productive because as easily as it is to maybe leave the country without this kind of like boycott on travel from there, it'd be so hard for them to you know, unless they were in certain places to get vaccinations right now in this country. And so, yeah, it's sad, but it's what they have to do right now. And I don't see any way around it.
Stuart, did you want to add something?
Yeah. Well, also just, you know, in India, the resources are obviously, you know, still like there's inequality like there is here. So the people who could even afford to come to America are probably in line to get better medical care than the people who couldn't come to America in the first place.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we did have our borders open, you know, and a lot of wealthy Indians just decided to come here, they might not, you know, the government may not pay as much attention to the pandemic because they don't care as much about the poor people.
Yeah, it really is heartbreaking what's happening.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So on Saturday, Mitt Romney was booed and called a traitor by much of the audience at the Utah Republican Convention, while today Liz Cheney is being attacked by other Republicans for tweeting out this morning that the 2020 election was not stolen. So it seems like the Republican Party can't exist with a split between Trumpers and non-Trumpers. Which side do you believe will eventually win? Stuart.
The side that's willing to commit terrorism. I mean, there's no way there's no way that people that are, I mean, if you're willing to run and, you know, invade the Capitol, you're willing to do whatever it takes to make your side win. So, I mean, hopefully that's.
Did you actually see what happened? Because I think we have video of this. Pete, do you want to show the video? For those that didn't see it? Okay, let's play it.
Okay, hold on. Give me a second. Just keep talking for a second. Okay.
Now, you know me as a person who says what he thinks, and I don't hide the fact that I wasn't a fan of our last president's character issues. And I'm also no fan. Aren't you embarrassed? And I'm also no fan of the president's. Yeah, sure.
My friends, this is the moment I was talking about. Please, thank you. Show respect.
What? That's just sick. I'm sorry. Like, that is just so wrong on so many levels. And all because they have beef with him because he, what? he went against some of their, you know, ideology or whatnot. It's disgusting. Joe, then I'll go to Pete.
It's going to go down to how the elections go. I mean, in private, Cheney, when the vote was private in chambers and all that, she had the party had her back totally. So, but the whole thing is that nobody can see who in the Republican Party voted for her. When it's out in public, it's going to go down. There's two sides of the party, and they're really, really split right now. And it's basically going to go down to they're going to have to see what the next election does. Because if the next election, more and more Trumpers get voted, that's the direction you're going to go. If less Trumpers get voted, that's the direction you're going to go. It's really kind of, I mean, that's how it goes. I hate to say it. It's like the policy of what actually the people need does not matter. It goes down to who's going to vote for me to keep so I can keep my job. I mean, that's what it's going to be. And man, now I'm talking like Pete. Why am I stuttering so much?
Pete, is that what I say?
No, I mean, the central person, the reason why I stutter so much is because I'm hitting 12 different buttons at the same time while I'm trying to talk. I apologize. Okay. Plus, I probably have a stutter. That's just not
We're inclusive here. We're inclusive.
Yeah, but, you know, the problem for the Republican Party right now is, yeah, back 2 months ago when they took the private vote, you know, between all the Republican Congress people, Liz Cheney survived that vote. But now they're talking about having a second vote, maybe as soon as next week on like the 12th, I think. And they're saying she probably won't survive this vote as far as being in the leadership. And she would be the highest ranking woman in the Republican Party would be knocked out of leadership. So there'd be no women at all in the leadership of that party. And wow. And the reality of it is, it's kind of like rolling the dice right now, because what she and Romney are doing is they're saying that in the country, there are enough non-Trump Republicans that sooner or later, those people are going to start speaking out and speaking louder. And then those two might be at the forefront. Them, Adam Kinzinger. What the hell is happening? I don't know. That was weird.
Being attacked by QAnon.
See, there you go. But no, I mean, like, what one of the things that they're saying is that, well, you know, let's hope that, you know, come next year during the elections, the Trumpers are all now with their backs against the wall because they've said no to everything that Biden wants to do. They've said no to everything that the Democrats want to do. And the Democrats just keep giving things to people and maybe all of them get voted out. Whereas somebody like Liz Cheney, by doing something as little as fist bumping Biden, looks like somebody that's willing to work across the aisle. It's a big gamble, because if she loses and it is the Trumpers that win it, it's the end of the Republican Party as we know it. And that's like, yay, good for us, but not really, because that means that there's going to be a whole party built on the fact that somebody lied about the election and that this is what's going to be the party going forward. Like, you could almost guess that in 4 years, their platform for the 2024 elections are going to be built on the last election was stolen from the Republican Party. We're going to do everything in our power not to let this one get stolen. So, I mean, and that's where it gets scary. But I think at the end of the day, you know, Trump's going to get indicted. There's no two ways about it. I mean, Rudy Giuliani last week getting his home and his office raided was just another example of why it's becoming more obvious that Trump's going to get indicted. Because that idiot Rudy Giuliani did not hide anything. I'm sure he didn't take things off his phone. I'm sure he didn't take things off his computer. And now anything that they have is evidence. And so he's going to get indicted. And when he gets indicted, depending on how bad the charges are, there's going to be less and less of these Republicans like the Ted Cruz's and the Josh Hawley's that are going to go, oh, yeah, yeah, let me stick with him. Because there's going to be things that are going to come out that are going to be so hard to defend that there's just no way they're going to be able to. So I think short term, Trump's faction is going to be the louder faction of the party. But overall, by the time we get to 2024, it's probably going to be more the normal Republicans again, if that even exists any longer.
See, and I want to believe that, but I completely disagree with you. I really think that, you know, these Trumpers, I mean, it is a cult. and try to get through people that it doesn't matter if he gets indicted, he'll still have people, they'll still be like the replica Trumps following behind him. Hollies, the Ted Cruz. I mean, look at the way he handled the pandemic alone. If that didn't make him lose support, these people are completely blinded by him. He's not part of a political party. He's not a real Republican. It's the Trump cult.
Yeah, but see, here's the difference. You know, and I said this earlier this morning, if Trump was the captain on the Titanic, when the ship hit the iceberg, he would have cut all the lines so nobody could have gotten off a lifeboat, on a lifeboat, because everybody would have to go down with him. And that's what his plan is going to be going forward, because if he gets indicted, he's going to put so much pressure on them to try and find a way to get him out of it. And when they realize that they can't, he's just going to start pulling people in. This one did this. This one did that. I try to stop them from doing this. And that's where this whole thing's going to go awry, because what Trump is going to do is he's basically going to create a faction of people that are Trump's people. They have no association with Republicans or Democrats. And those people are going to stay pat to him. But the problem is they're not going to have enough power to be able to do anything. So Republicans are going to have to come back to the fold and say, OK, we're going to have to go back to the normal way. We'll just hate gays. We'll hate women. We'll hate anybody that does anything that's against free market. And that'll be what the party will be again. But for now, the loudest voice will stay at the top. But he's not going to be the loudest voice for that much longer. He's got probably another 6 months. Let me put it this way. Cyrus Vance, the attorney general, the district attorney of New York City, is not running for re-election next year. So he has to. And the reason why he chose to do this, and he said it, was because he wanted to show that there was no politicization of this. So he's going after Trump because he thinks legally it's the right thing to do. So he only has till the end of next year to finish this. So he's going to get indicted before the 2022 election. And if it's not New York, it's going to be Georgia. It's going to be Washington, D.C. Some state or multiple states are going to indict him. And that's just what's going to happen. And then, again, when you start seeing crying widows of Metropolitan Police on the stand saying Donald Trump killed my husband, and you start seeing some of these people who are going to start throwing Trump under the bridge and say, yeah, I wouldn't have broken through the Capitol if he didn't tell us to do it. And you keep seeing it day in and day out on screen. Sooner or later, these guys are going to start. They're not known for having strong backbones as it is. So when all of a sudden this starts becoming an issue, you'll see how quickly they run away from Trump.
Oh, let's hope so. Let me hear from Stuart, then we're going to move on. Go ahead, Stuart.
It already has become an issue. If they weren't going to break from him now, they're not going to. The reality is Trump's probably going to get indicted for something and he's going to get off. Because you can't put – I mean, the worst he's going to face is a fine. There's no chance they're putting a former president of the United States in jail. That's just – it's just not going to happen. And he could literally shoot somebody and they still wouldn't put him in jail.
No.
Which, I mean, it's terrible, but this is the way it is. And in terms of, 2024, yeah, I mean, Trump's not going to run again. DeSantis is, Ted Cruz is, Josh Hawley is. One of his ilk is going to. And the reality is Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney are on borrowed time. I mean, the rest of the Republican Party is fucking terrified of these nuts. They are. I mean, I think everybody in the country is. I mean, I am.
But when Trump is not allowed to go out there and talk to these people, when he's like, let's say he's under indictment,
It doesn't matter. They still Trump have is gonna Trump
do,
in.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
It's not. It doesn't have to be Trump. It has to be somebody associated with Trump. It could be Eric. It could be Don Jr.
Wrong. The only reason why these people like Trump so much is because he was on TV. He wasn't – before Trump was on The Apprentice, Trump couldn't have walked into a state like North Carolina and not gotten beaten up for being a Yankee New Yorker. The whole thing behind Trump is because they created a mystique for him on television. And
he's been out of the news for a couple months now.
And Josh Hawley doesn't have that mystique. He doesn't have that. Ted Cruz is a fucking schlub. There's nothing not good about Ted Cruz. Makes you want to get an enema every time you see him. I mean, so these are not people that people are going to get excited about.
Get excited if one of his family members runs
for office. Something, but then they might all be under indictment too. Maybe Stuart's right and Trump doesn't go to jail, but that does not mean that Don Jr. doesn't go to jail. That doesn't mean that Trump doesn't go to jail. There's a lot of other Trumps that can go to jail.
Yeah,
well, hey, I saw the look on Ian's face. He was just like me. He thought you were about to say Yankee Noodle Dandy.
Okay, so let's move on. On Friday, Joe Rogan walked back his comments about how young people shouldn't get the COVID vaccine by saying no one should listen to him because he is, and I'm quoting him, a fucking moron. Let's watch.
You're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no. Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself. You should, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, like, I don't think you need to worry about this. In fact, I said, I believe they're safe and I encourage many people to take them. My parents were vaccinated. I just said, I don't think that if you're a young, healthy person that you need it. Their argument was, you need it for other people.
So you don't transmit the virus.
That makes more sense. I'm not a doctor. I'm a f***ing moron. And I'm a cage fighting commentator who's a dirty stand-up comedian who just told you I'm drunk most of the time. And I do testosterone and I smoke a lot of weed. But I'm not a respected source of information, even for me.
I've agreed with him on many things. So why do so many people listen to know-nothings like Joe Rogan over actual experts? Because people are stupid. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, again, you know, it's funny that he does that where he says this stuff definitively to his audience one day, and then when he gets blowback on it, then all of a sudden he walks it back by saying, who should be listening to me? I'm an idiot. Oh, and by the way, buy this product because I say it's really worth buying. So it's like, are you an idiot or are you somebody that people should trust? There's like this weird dynamic. And the reason why they trust him is because it's the same reason why when you're a kid, you trust your friends more than you trust your parents, or why you trust, you know, somebody you don't know more than you trust a teacher, because it's always more fun to be with the outsiders than it is to be with the insiders. And Joe Rogan's whole audience is the outsiders now. I mean, it used to be years ago, it was Howard Stern, but the thing was Howard Stern didn't tell people not to get vaccinated. He didn't tell them not to do things they shouldn't do. There was some sense of intelligence behind it. Joe Rogan is exactly who he said he was. He's a guy that used to be a comic, wasn't a very good comic. I saw him do stand-up, was never all that funny. The funniest thing he ever did was call out Carlos Mencia, the other comedian, because he stole people's jokes. And then he was on Fear Factor. And you know what? That probably makes him a better candidate for the Republican presidential nomination than it is for them to give him any kind of credence as far as, you know, information as far as science and medicine. But there are people that are going to listen. And like I said, when they listen and then people get in trouble for it, then he walks it back and says, I'm an idiot. You shouldn't have listened to me.
You know what, though? I do have to say what I've said about Trump in the past about Joe Rogan. This guy clearly isn't that stupid. He's smart because he knew exactly how to get to this, you know, level of notoriety that he has now. He's become a multimillionaire, whether it's him that did it by himself or by trying to appeal to these people to follow him, or he hooked up with the right people who were able to market him out to be this person. But I mean, the guy, he's got hundreds of millions of followers and I don't get it at all. Danny, let me hear from you. I haven't heard from you today.
It may be an unpopular opinion, but I think it really starts at home. Because I grew up with a very strong mom, very strong minded grandmother, and they taught us to really research stuff, to really, you know, to pay attention to what's going on and not to follow others, you know? And I just think that kids are so easily manipulated and influenced nowadays and don't have that background or that stability at home, you know, where they can make their own decisions. You know, it may not be a popular opinion, but I think it's true. You know, having taught, you know, I saw how the quote unquote cool teachers would easily manipulate the students into liking the teams they liked, into doing things that they wanted the kids, they preferred, you know, and it was very rare that some kids would just be like, no, I like this team or I like doing things this way because that's what I was told to do. I have a mind of my own. No one needs to influence me. I can make up my own mind. And I think that right now that approach to parenting where, you know, you give them, you know, an iPhone, you know, let go play in the corner. You know, I just think kids are being neglected nowadays. And, you know, that's why, you know, we have the problems we have now with, you know, people like Trump supporters.
You know what? And I agree with you to an extent, Danny, because again, I mean, you and I are from the same generation and we were pretty much raised pretty similar, I would say. But it's adults that follow him too. People that I know that are very smart, intelligent people just love this guy. He's the funniest guy on earth. And he's just so, oh, he's so great. Oh, Joe Rogan said this and they post things about him all the time. And I don't fucking get it.
So some of the kids we taught when we first started, you know, they're now in their mid, you know, 20s, you know, so it's those people that, you know, have never really had that.
Well, yeah, that would be like, I mean, that's a whole different, you know, we could do a whole different show on that, but it's true. But I just don't get the adults that follow him. And like I said, people that grew up like myself are very intelligent people that I personally know that are just love this guy. And I don't get it. Go ahead, Stuart.
I mean, he's just, Joe Rogan's just like the douchebag Pied Piper. I mean, but the thing is, he knows that. So he knows what he says when he says, you know, 21-year-olds, you know, don't need to get vaccinated. And the reality is him going like, oh, like, what do I know? It's a cop out. Like, that's your whole show is you being, making all these insane assertions. Uh-huh. But he has some insane people on his show. Like that. One thing I will say for Joe Rogan is his guests are like a wide variety of it's a wide variety of guests, but they're mostly like either comedians or just fucking nuts. Like a lot of his guests are just insane.
Yeah, and that's what gets people to listen to him,
right? Like, and that's because they smart business model. He makes these insane assertions and then, you know, goes on these incredibly stupid justifications for them, and people take it as the truth because nobody else is telling you this. I'm letting you in on a secret. This is some, you know, unknown thing that you're in on the ground floor. Like, no, you're just fucking crazy. Like,
you know what? And I bet you he believes only half of the shit that he spews too, because he knows exactly what he's doing. You can't be that stupid and be smart at the same time.
He's like a toxic masculinity, a spotlight. So wherever toxic masculinity and the whole, you know, the culture of that goes, he's just right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe, and then I'll finish with Ian. Go ahead, Joe.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Joe Rogan is goop for men. Seriously. But here's the thing. Half of it, he's only the back half of the trip. The front half is the people that are listening. There's something that they want. I don't want to have to take this vaccine. Now, Joe Rogan says, hey, don't take the vaccine. Now you're like, oh, I don't have to take it because this is what Joe Rogan said. So you got to remember half of this leap. That's why people, when you were younger, you listened to your friends instead of your parents, because that's the road you wanted to take. You know, oh, my parents said, well, I shouldn't do this because I'm 17. But your friend said, hey, it's okay. Oh, my friend said it's okay, so I can do it, because you wanted to and you were halfway down that road. And that's the way that it works with a lot of this stuff. And that's why we listen to stupid people. That's why people were taking all of this stupid false information about COVID last year from that guy that they knew in high school instead of scientists and things like that. Because that's what you wanted. You were halfway down that road. And they're just the ones that gives you that last push over the line to say, hey, I don't have to do this, so I'm going to listen to an idiot. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, I agree. So finish the thought, Ian. Go ahead.
I used to watch Joe Rogan. I was a big fan of news radio, and I watched his early stand-up. And I think part of the attraction was his stand-up routine was really just kind of railing against stupidity in a lot of ways. And the people it attracted was like a lot of like straight white males, maybe who were a little disenfranchised. And they were like, yeah, he's right, all this stuff is stupid. And I think they just kind of glommed on to that. And he became sort of a beacon. And then they just, you know, he started talking all this weird ass fucking shit on his podcast about marijuana and doing like sensory deprivation. I'm not gonna rag on that, but dude's weird, and everybody just kind of jumped in on
it. Yeah, and he probably started seeing the numbers going up, and that's what you want. So he's like, fuck it, I'll just go crazy. I'll go as crazy as I have to be to keep the numbers up and keep making more money, which is perfect. Hey, smart guy. Give him that much. Pete.
No, I just kind of wanted to jump onto something that Ian said, because I didn't even think of this until he was saying it. Yeah, his audience are these testosterone fueled men, and if you go back a generation before him, who had that same audience before they became a television star? Tim Allen. because Tim Allen's whole you know, spiel when he was doing stand up comic was about the guy who was always getting berated by his wife, and he's the ape. He was doing all that stupid shit, and then he turned it into Home Improvement, and then we saw what he became after Home Improvement. And again, it's always these guys that have some kind of weird, you know, early story that eventually leads into this. Like with Tim Allen, he was a coke dealer. With this guy, he was a comic who was on Fear Factor and all this other stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's like there's some of these guys that, like, their routines really kind of tell you who they are as people. And the toxic masculinity thing, like Stu was saying, is very much. I don't want to push this on Republicans, but it's definitely less towards liberals and more towards skewing middle right. And, you know, and I think that's why you see him being something like some of the voices you see on the right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So let's move on to our main story tonight. Last week, Zoe Roth, the 21-year-old college student, sold a photo of herself for just under $500,000. And it became a huge story highlighting both the power of pop culture and the rise of something very few people understand, non-fungible tokens. We thought tonight we might look at the story of the girl many refer to as Disaster Girl and what role NFTs played in the sake of her photo. Oh yeah, and we'll try and make some sense of what an NFT actually is. So first off, does anyone want to tell us the story behind the photograph called Disaster Girl? Pete.
Well, in 2005, her and her dad happened upon a controlled burn, which I guess is the North Carolina Fire Department that in the area that they were in was burning down a house. And I don't know what the reasoning for it was, but they were actually doing
it. They were training firemen.
So, yeah. So it wasn't that a house caught on fire and that they were putting it out. This was actually a training exercise. And the father thought, you know, it'd be interesting just to get a picture of his daughter, you know, with the house in the background. But he didn't he probably told her to smile or whatever else. But she took the picture and then he put it online. And all of a sudden, people started using it for memes because they thought it was really weird that they, you know, this little girl is smirking, you know, with a house burning down behind her. And then it just became like this thing where I'm bringing up some of the memes. The first actual meme that anybody put up was there was a spider. It's gone now. Then they had memes like her standing next to the Titanic going down, or her outside Notre Dame Cathedral while it was burning. But it's kind of continued for the last 15 years. So that's really where the story came from. So it wasn't actually a disaster, but they just kind of gave her that nickname.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Zoe Roth decided to sell a digital photo of the photo known as non-fungible token. Now, without getting into an explanation of NFTs, can someone tell us what Zoe Roth actually sold? So what did she actually sell? Does anybody know? This is very convoluted.
And idea?
Very...
I don't know.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'm sorry I'm like dominating this again, but I did the research. So the thing that she actually sold was, well, now I have, you know, again, I'm going to put it up on the screen. This is the digital photo that she sold. Now, what the person who bought it for $480,000 got was this. Was the same file I have, everything exactly the same. The only thing different between what I have and what they have is that in the digital signature, inside the code of the file, it's her. She's digitally signed it, which makes it unique to any other version of the photo. So anybody can have this photo, but there's only one person right now who has this photo digitally signed by Zoe Roth. And that kind of goes back into the whole thing about what is the difference between fungible and non-fungible. So I don't know if that's something you want to ask anybody else, but maybe somebody else. If not, I'll jump in again.
Okay, so the people that are on the panel here, is anybody as confused as I am as to what these are, this non-fungible token? Because I'm so confused.
I know it has something kind of to do with like Bitcoin and those kinds of commodities, but I don't really understand how it works and how these people are making money off of it.
So people actually think it's a technology, but it's not exactly a new technology. Pete, do you want to go into it, or do you want me to break it down?
Really quickly, again, and this is something that I'm not even sure I understand what I'm about to say, but I'll say it anyway. A fungible, something that's fungible is something that has a tangible value. Like if I you know, go to Joe and I borrow $50 from Joe, and he gives me a $50 bill a month later, and I come back to Joe and I give him two 20s and a 10, it's still $50. Like it doesn't change its value because I'm giving it to him in a different way. Now, if I give Joe the picture I have on the screen of Disaster Girl, and then he gives me back the one that she sold to somebody for $480,000, it is different because what she sold him is unique. It's kind of like a car. If I borrow somebody's car, I could give them back the exact same make and model car, but it's not the same car. So that makes a car non-fungible, because once it's unique to you, like a house could be, everything in our house could be exactly the same, but if I give somebody back a different house with everything exactly the same, it does not make it the same house. So that's why that's non-fungible.
Oh my God.
So when someone says that items are non-fungible or priceless, is that correct or no? That was my misconception. I had that misconception. Okay.
No, it's they're not priceless. They have no value.
They have
until
no
somebody,
value.
Until somebody gives it a value. So I could say my glasses here, I bought them in the store for $100, but because I wore them, they're now worth this much. So it goes from being a fungible item to being a non-fungible item because I've now put a different value on it because it's not this, because it has a different value because I wore them. It's probably worth less.
Joe.
Okay. Let me put this in a little bit of an easier way. So let's say I'm an artist, right? And I create a lithograph, a poster, right? I print hundreds of thousands of these posters and I give them away, but I only sign one of them. And somebody purchases that one signed one. That one is different. Now you picture the same thing, but all completely digital. That digital picture is signed by her and that's unique. And that's how it's unique. So instead of like taking a pen and signing a picture and selling it to that gentleman, or whoever bought it, I'm sorry, it's a gentleman, whoever bought it. It's all done digitally, but it's the kind of the exact same thing. That's what we're talking about. So if she only does one, that's it. And it's signed. It's just digitally signed. And that's the difference. So like I can get that picture anywhere for free, but the only one that I'm going to get with the digital encode onto it is that NFT, that non-fungible. And so maybe that's a little bit easier to wrap your head around.
It's really not.
Okay, well, I think we kind of sort of explained in our own small way what NFTs are. So since we all understand them now, let's now show you some items that are being sold as NFTs. And then we'll say what we think they're worth, followed by what they are being offered for sale as.
Oh, this is okay.
Can bring up some images of NFTs and give us a description of each one, correct?
Yeah, I'm gonna bring up these. There's a website called OpenSea that is, it's like the main place for the purchase of NFTs. And basically what's happening right now is graphic artists are working like 24 hours a day to keep putting out more and more images and then putting them up and saying, hey, look, I made this and let's start the bidding at, the way NFTs work is they use a style of cryptocurrency called Ethereum. Or ether. Ether is the actual currency. So one, I forgot how much one ether is to dollars, but I think it's something like one ether is like 300 and something dollars or something to that effect. But that's based on, see, the way the cryptocurrency works from what I understand is that a cryptocurrency can only have a certain amount of actual currency. So it's a finite amount. Like the United States used to base their currency on our gold reserves. So however much gold reserve, that's how much money the country had. But when we came off the gold standard, we basically said, if we want to print more money, we can print more money. And it doesn't matter what the gold standard is. Well, make believe now cryptocurrency is like that, where there's a Fort Knox where all their money is and not one more dime can be taken out of that. So as the necessity or the want for more cryptocurrency comes, the price rises. So again, when we're talking about the NFTs, these people put them online, and sometimes they put them online for a dollar, the equivalent of a dollar in Ether. And sometimes they put it on for a lot more money. And some of these become incredibly expensive based on bidding or based on being bought and then sold again. So I'm going to put up the first one right now, and let's see if you guys can make a determination of what you think this might be worth. So, okay, so this first one, let me pull up the information on it. It's called Arena Glad number 348. So there's at least 347 other Arena Glads. So does anybody want to take a guess at what this is, what this is, it was recently purchased for on OpenSea?
10 grand.
Anybody else?
Go at 100 grand.
100 grand, okay.
Is it a digital picture for those that are listening to the podcast?
Yeah,
it's a digital picture?
It's a digital picture.
And it's ugly.
It's a picture that was created for this purpose, to sell it. No other purpose. You know, and I wish the people on our podcast could see this, but if you're listening and you want to see what it looks like, go to opensea.io and put in Arena Glad hashtag 348, number 348, and then you can see it.
$150,000.
Okay, well, let me stop you guys there. Just so you know, I kind of went lower for some of the early ones because I wanted to kind of show you the disparity in the cost. That piece is only worth $495.80.
Bargain.
Yeah, I know. It probably took somebody about an hour to make, and then they put it, and it was sold for $495.
Well, what's your time worth?
So that was the first one. Now the next one. Now, if anybody ever questions my loyalty to doing this show, I want you to know that the next one nearly gave me an aneurysm because the amount of times I had to watch it to get it off screen and then put it on here. And you'll understand why in a second. Hip hop artist Lil Jon has decided to make a full selection of NFTs. One of them including what's it called? Lil Jon's catchphrase, okay. So let me play this one for you. I think you're going to really love it. Here we go. You ready? I screwed up. It's too loud.
You get like 20 of them. That was cool.
Okay. Hold on. Let me see if I can play it where you can actually hear it. It's not going to have to that sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard something.
It's just over and over again. Him saying okay. Okay.
Okay.
Over and over and over again.
Okay.
Does anybody want to guess what this pile of shit costs?
Okay.
$99.95.
Hold on, I can't hear you. Say it again.
50 grand.
I'm gonna go 5 grand.
I bid $1.
Anybody else?
40,000.
Okay. Well, Joe was closest because this was, I don't think Lil Jon has as much pull as he used to because this one only cost $839.38. So
well, we just watched. Well, I mean, if we would have been able to watch it, but like,
I'm sorry, it was a little brutal. I apologize.
No, I'm saying, but I mean, I saw it earlier with you. So people pay $839 to see what we just saw.
Yeah, to see a video.
No, to own it. No,
they,
to
own
it.
Own it. They cost
it. We can watch.
Well, it's free.
To own it. To own it.
Own it.
Basically, they own it because, like, I have it and I don't own it, but they can own it, and so they could watch a 20-second clip of this fucking lunatic saying "okay" over and over again in different ways. I'm sorry.
Now, Pete, real quick, what is the cost to make this and then put it on open? Was it open?
OpenSea.
Yeah. What's
OpenSea
it called?
The same thing like an auction fee. So it's not like it costs.
So they take like a 10% cut.
I don't know what the actual percentage is, but yeah, they take a piece of it. Okay, and what's interesting, what's really great is that nobody actually changes money. They it's all done through cryptocurrency. Like, I don't know if any of you guys ever watched the show Bering Sea Gold on Discovery.
You do Channel. Now.
but let me I watch the show incessantly, and from my impression, nobody in Nome, Alaska uses cash. All they basically do is dig up gold and then give it to each other. And that is essentially the same thing as this, because they know that the gold has some kind of value, so they'll just give that to somebody and say, okay, I want to get something that's $500. Here's $500 worth of a product that I know is worth $500. So that's what they do with the cryptocurrency, too.
But I mean, cryptocurrency, you can cash it out.
Yeah, you can. But yeah, you could just do the same with this is the thing. Like, somebody bought this thing for $839. Tomorrow they could put it back online again for $1,050. I mean, if Little John should die in the next week or so, God forbid, because we can't lose him too after we lost Humpty Hump and DMX. But if we lose, you know, Little John, this is probably going to skyrocket, because we're never going to get to hear him say okay again. And you want to know something? I hope I fucking never have to hear him say it again after this. I'm still punchy. So you want to go on to the next image?
Yeah.
This one is great. Let's see if we can put this up for you. This one is called... What?
I think it's cute.
Okay, well, this one is called Bored Ape Yacht Club number 167. So there's 166 other Bored Ape Yacht Club images.
It kind of looks like the artist that draws the stuff for the group Gorillaz.
It does kind of look like that, right? Because it looks like that. And maybe it was. I don't know that. I don't know who the artist was for this. But does anybody want to venture a guess on how much this cost?
$1,250.
Okay. Anybody?
$2,500.
$1,251.
$2,500 too.
Okay. Well, it's actually pretty close. It's $2,303.66. So that's what it costs to get a digital image that, by the way, weighs less than 2 kilobytes from somebody.
Let's point out that this is also the first image that's not completely annoying. So the less annoying, the more money you'll get.
Apparently. No. Well, we're going to keep going up. We're going up the ladder on these.
Real quick question. Are there feet pics or anything like that? Like, can I get in there?
let's see. So let's go to our next image.
I have some nice feet.
Next image. Now, this is an image. This is part of a trio. I feel bad because I didn't put up all three parts. It's part of DG's top, bottoms, and shoes collection. So there's three images, and you can imagine that the shoes and the top all kind of match this fine pair of pants.
Did you say DG as in Dolce & Gabbana?
No, it's not that DG. It's like D Finance something or other, but they go by DG.
It's so, Doug Goldberg.
It looks like Avatar Close You Goodbye for Your Sims.
Well, see, that's the thing. This is one of the interesting things. People are trading parts for games. Like, you can buy if you're using one of those simulated like first person shooters that has like different towns and things that you can add into it. People are creating them and then buying, and other people are buying them and putting them into the games as well. So that this may very well be that. I don't know that for sure, but it's a pair of pants, it's a top, and it's a pair of sneakers. So who wants to take a guess on how much this flaming turd is worth?
75,000.
Is the top like a long sleeve, or are we talking
it's a
long crop?
It's a jacket with like a t-shirt under it.
Oh wow, $80,000.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you could wear those pants with anything. A lot of different outfits. But I'm gonna go with $6,500.
Okay. Well, the actual price of it is $9,254.84. So you kind of got a bargain there, because that's like almost 3,000, a little bit more than 3,000 for each item, the shirt, the pants, and the shoes.
I'm going to have shit cut and made for less.
Yeah. So now this next one really got me. I can't wait to show it to you. This one is it's a transparent, it's not a GIF, it's a PNG file. It's by a company called Crypto Kitties, and this is Genesis. Genesis. Now, so I can let you know, Crypto Kitties, there's about 200 of these that I saw, but this was one of them, and this was the one that was just most recently sold. Does anybody want to take a guess on what this shit is costing?
I hope it's affordable, because I need a
50K.
100K.
No, that's a $15,000 kitty.
I'm going to say $1,800.
Okay, so you guys want to
say, hold on, I want to bet. 175,000.
Okay, well, that's a good cost, but I'm sorry, you're all way off. You know how much this fucking thing costs? $812,000, $812,619.47.
I feel so old right now.
It's fucking transparent. Like, they didn't even have to make a background. It's this.
Ian, right now you've already got to be thinking that you could start a whole British police inspector collection and just take pictures of yourself and put them on there. You know, like British police inspector number 633. Buy yourself a house.
Hold on. The shirt's really not doing anything.
I'm going to raise the value of the show. Wait, hold on. Watch. Wait any second now. I'm going to raise the value of the show. Look, the kitty is now in the spot where Stuart used to be. We got $800,000.
Joe, hey, why don't you cover up me? Cover up Joe.
No, it's good. It's good.
Sorry.
What are you doing to that kitty?
I bring more ratings than you do, Stuart.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one, because they just get better and better as we go along. Look at this. Look at this. Fine piece of work. This is called goat, so you know. Does anybody want to venture a guess on what goat cost?
Can somebody tell me who the goat is?
Or is that just at like a regular person?
It's somebody's head, and then somebody sitting. It's a head on a goat with a guy sitting on its back with an American flag.
Who is the guy?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
All right.
What are we doing here then?
Does somebody want to guess on how much this thing costs?
$1,776.
$1 million.
Okay, anybody else?
$750,000.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, this costs $1,096,982.24. So that you could have the same file I have on my screen, on our screen. Anybody who's watching this or watching the video, you could just screenshot it, and then you own something that's worth $1 million. The only difference is that the guy who made this piece of art didn't digitally sign it. That's the only difference.
I feel like I need a cane to like shake at the screen right now. This is
Vincent Van Gogh is about to cut off his other ear.
I would cut my throat.
You'd probably get like $5,000 for it.
Okay, wait, because it doesn't stop there. It gets better and better as we go along. I want you to guess how much this steaming pile of dung costs. But, I mean, this is called
trying to watch Skinemax when you're in middle school.
Yeah, that's what I think it looks like. It's like the guy sitting there trying to like just work the little control on the back of the cable.
I saw a boop. I saw a boop.
I feel like this one is like a Faustian bargain.
Well, it's an animated GIF, whichever you want to call it.
So we know it
had to be extra work to do this. And so does anybody want to venture a guess? It's called Reflection. So everybody knows. This is Reflection. Does anybody want to
guess?
$5 million. How much?
$5 million.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna go $3.3 million.
Okay. $2.2 million.
Okay.
I'm going to go with $8 million.
Okay. Well, I think you guys might be shooting a little high for this one. This wonderful piece of art is only $1,563,261.25. So $1.5 million, you probably could get this. But if you bid a little bit too low, you're going to miss out on getting this. So that was Reflection. We're going to move on to Landmark. Now, Landmark, I sat down in front of my computer earlier and I almost did something just to see if it could be done, but this is landmark. I wanted to see if I could actually make this on Photoshop before the show. And I got about three quarters of the way and then I got bored doing it. But I just wanted to say, this is, it's called landmark at pm.me. So does like anybody that. Now this landmark person or pm.me, they make zillion of these things. There's like so many different variations. Like the difference is maybe the center thing won't be green, it'll be red, or there'll be a yellow dot somewhere on it. Or the box will be to the left or the right. But they're selling these like hotcakes. So does anybody want to guess what this one is costing?
It's calm. It's
5 million. 10 grand.
Okay. Anybody else?
2 million.
Okay, well, it actually costs 1,833,987.86.
I'm so confused.
that's almost $2 million for a square with a bunch of other squares in it. And it's not, and listen, if it was a painting, maybe I'd say, okay, well, I can physically pick it up and put it somewhere. You got to put this in a fucking computer. You put this on a Seagate hard drive that could crash in theory. So, okay, now we're moving on. This is one of probably my favorite of a lot. So let's take a look at this one.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it's a delayed reaction. I didn't even know you could actually post these somewhere in your house. I just got that.
This is CryptoPunk number 3100. So there's 33,099 of these before this one, at least. And if anybody, for the people who are at home, I'm sorry again, go to OpenSea.io and put in CryptoPunk number 3100 if you want to see it.
It's kind of, for the people at home, it's kind of a cross between a crash test dummy and a Q-tip.
It looks, you know, it looks like a dot matrix design, like somebody did, you know, like space, period, space, period, like to make this image. Now, based on how wonderful a piece of art this is, can anybody fathom a guess on what this cost?
$10 million.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, 5 mil.
Okay. Nobody else?
I'm going to say 25 million.
25 million. Wow, you guys are going a little high.
I'm going to say 2 million.
Okay, well Joe, you went low because this garbage costs 13,821,990. $13,821,000 for this. Somebody paid that.
Sorry if I look distracted. I'm just trying to set up my OpenSea account. Actually.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now too. So let's point out though that for every $13 million one, there's probably a ton that are just a couple.
Yeah,
cents,
there's a lot
right?
of junk.
Yeah, there's at least a few that aren't $13 million. But I brought one more, and this one is actually up for auction right now, and it's getting a lot of movement. The auction doesn't end for a couple more weeks, so if you want to bid on it, you can. So let me bring this up for you. This is called Exhibit 001. That's the name of it. Now, from what I could tell, it looks like they took the same image of a young woman. They split it in middle and stretched it, and they did like some stuff in the middle of it, and they also kind of like marbleized her body in the image. So this is probably, you know, a good 2 hours worth of work. Probably at least 2 hours worth of work. Does anybody want to venture a guess? Now I could tell you that I'm going to give you a hint on this. At 10 o'clock this morning, when I looked this up, it was $1 million less than it was when I pulled the image an hour and a half, like 2 hours later. So that'll go to show you just how high this thing is as far as the bidding is concerned. So who wants to take a guess at what this fucking load is worth?
25 million.
50 million.
Anybody else?
I'm going to go 110 million.
Wow, that's high. Now, again, you guys, you're ruining the game because you're going way too high on this one. It's only worth $17,008,500.68. Now, it might have gone up since I did this because this was about 3 hours ago. But like I said, when I got up this morning, it was worth about $16 million. But it went up to 17 in the time being since then. So, yeah, so this is worth $17 million for a file that, again, is probably about 5 kilobytes. I mean, it just kind of blows my mind.
There's like, a lot of stupid people.
Yeah, this is clearly stupid white people, I think.
Oh, I'm getting in on this. I am making some shit.
Ian, after we puzzle, maybe we can open C.
Yeah, let's take some feet pics. Get paid.
That's crazy. Wow.
Do Norman.
Yeah, you know what? We should do one of Norman's pictures, Pete, or Henry's. These okay. are normal.
Let's put it on there, but you know, you have to digitally sign it. So make sure you do that.
Okay, well, digitally sign it and then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting. That was very interesting. So this coming Friday, we have a very special new game show called Cameo Price is Right, in which we take the basic concept of the long-running game show Price is Right, and instead of bidding on grocery items, we're instead trying to guess the cost of purchasing personalized videos by celebrities from the website Cameo. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope you'll tune in on Friday at 6 p.m. to watch. So the plan to do this gave us an idea. Considering that so many of the people featured on Cameo have a very loose association with the definition of celebrity, we thought, how about we get on Cameo and each of us on the panel try and sell videos on the site? So throughout the month of May, we will discuss the process and if we're getting any results from it. So I think of some of you already signed up for it. Can you tell us about the process and where you are in now? So I still have to sign up for it. So who's already signed up? Okay, Joe, talk to us.
I have, I put in my application. There's a 72-hour waiting period, up to 72 hours. Okay. And basically what is Cameo is doing the check to make sure that you are at least some sort of celebrity. You have to put in you have to put in like a social media thing and how many followers you have and things like that. And then there's a description box to tell you so you can add to them and say, hey, this is what I do and things like that. So it's not just anybody can go in. They are at least vetting it. I'd also like to point out that all the money that we're going to make is going to go to charity.
I didn't do that. Wait a second.
Wait, what?
I want to get paid.
Yeah. No. Well, that's the whole idea. The whole idea was part of it. It was that to go to charity. I mean, if Ian wants to make his charity, I need an apartment. I mean, that's a little different. But I mean, I will be giving all mine to charity. But that's how it is. But I have not heard back from him yet. It's only been 24 hours.
Hey,
so
Joe?
We'll see what happens. But as of right now, that's the situation with me.
Joe, how much does charity charge per hour?
I don't know. But Charity Crawford can call me.
Okay, Stuart, so talk to me about your...
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing as Joe. It was super easy to sign up. It's only like, you know, name, email, where we would know you from. And it's just... You just like put in a few numbers and like a little description of like how they might know you. So it's super easy. I don't know if they'll let us in. I mean, should they?
Of course they
Who
should.
Who knows? But it'll be fun to see. What are we going to set our prices at though?
I think that's your determination.
That's because your
determination. This whole idea is to see who actually makes the most from their videos. So I think the next step would be, as people get accepted, because they're going to accept us, because all you got to do is look and see who some of the people are on there. That the fact that we actually have 2 feet would be enough of a reason to accept.
They
us.
Have a whole furries section, and I'm surprised at what people will pay to get a greeting from a furry, especially since I think it would be muffled under the mask. But yeah, so you can pay.
That's part of it.
People are paying $22 for a greeting from a famous furry. So.
So, yeah, so what we'll do is once people get accepted, the next thing we have to make a demo video that you put up on the site so that people become more interested. So maybe what we'll do is we'll play our demo videos so that we can kind of entice audience members into buying a personalized greeting from us. So that'll be step two.
Okay, sounds good. So then we still have to set up ours up, and then the rest of us that haven't done it, we have to do it, and we're going to be following up, and then we'll be doing a demo video as well. And Pete, are you going to be doing yours for charity?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
I want to point something out real quick because I was looking up. So there's another site that besides OpenSea called MNFT. And my friend actually has a picture of him, of himself on there. I don't. I think somebody made it for him. So, his name is Bernie Sue, and his current NFT is going for $88. And it's just a picture of him.
Nice.
Okay, so that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night and stay safe. Bye.